Pesach is almost here, and it's about time that we learned a little bit about Negelwasser in the morning. Now, if that shocked you, I chose that opening for its shock value. What does Negelwasser have to do with Pesach? Now, all the Yomim Tovim that we have, I think that we have a sense that the Yomtiv has to somehow generate a growth in us, that we should learn something from the Yomtiv and change our lives a little bit as a result of having experienced the Yomtiv. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is surely like that. Shavuos, we hear a lot of shmuzen about Kabbalah Satorah and the obligations of learning Torah and so on and so forth. Sukkos, we learn how to be happy. Zman Simchaseinu. And anybody who wants Simchas Torah is over, is back to the doldrums, he obviously hasn't had a very good Sukkos. So the Yomim Tovim are supposed to leave a Roshem with us. And now the question is, what Roshem is Pesach supposed to leave? It's not so easy, because by Pesach, see, by Shavuos we only have 1 day or 2 days in Golus, like to start off with, so everything is very, very concentrated. Sukkos, okay, so all the Yontif we've been sitting in the Sukkah, and then comes Shmini Atzeres, and then comes Simchas Torah. So the whole Yontif sort of grabs us and does things for us. Pesach is not that way. Once we're through with the storm, or in Eretz Yisrael, the single Seder, so the rest is just Yontif, and now what? There's no special mitzvah, there's no mitzvah to eat matzah, and so just what's left for us? And yet it has to be that way, that the Yontif makes demands on us, makes unbelievable demands on us. And I'd like to think a little bit about those demands. And so for its shock value, I said, well, we better start thinking about Negelwasser. Why should we be thinking about Negelwasser? Because there's this very interesting Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Tes Omid Aleph. Gemara says over there that Bas Choyren Hizu, that the Ruach HaTumah, which is on the hands after we wake up in the morning, that Ruach HaTumah is a Bas Choyren. That means she's an aristocratic lady. The Ruach HaTumah is not a lady altogether, but that's what the moshel which the Gemara is giving. Bas Choyren Hizu Umakpedes, and she's makped, that she is not going to be forced away from the person, that Ruach HaTumah. She'll stick with him until he washes his hands 3 times. So we have the Ruach HaTumah, which Chazal tell us is Shoyre on our hands, and we're told that it's a Bas Shoyren, and that as a Bas Shoyren she can insist on her standards. And her standards require that the hands have to be washed 3 times. And Rashi says, "Umakpedes benetilosoi lenoit lo yofe ad sheyishpoch mayim yofe sholosh pa'omim al yodav." You have to pour water. So Rashi is assuming that we know that the Negelwasser, the washing that takes place, has to be mitoich hakli. Now, why does the taka have to be mitoich hakli? So we go to the Mishnah Berurah. So what does the Mishnah Berurah say? That yichatz yodav, yesh al ze shnei ta'amim, horosh kosav lefi shiyodayim shel odom askoni yasein, ואי אפשר שלא ייגע בבוסר המתונף בלילה, לזה תקנו חזל ברוך על הנטילה לקריא שמה ולתפילה. So he doesn't say anything about the כלי. But the רשב"א, or רשב"א כוסף, לפי שבשחר אחר השינה, אנו נעשים כבריאו חדשה, תכסיב חדשים לבקורים רבו אמונסך. We're becoming a new bria every morning as we wake up. Tzrichem honu lehoidas lo yizborach shebu'ono lechvoidai. If we are a new creation every morning, so we have to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of our creation? And the answer is that the purpose of our creation is that we should enter a new phase of serving Hashem, ulevorech shemoim. Weil dover se tiknu b'shacha kol oison habrocha sh'onu mevorechem b'chol boiker.
We're supposed to use all these things in the service of the Ribbono Shel'olam.
Lochen gam dover ze tiknu b'shacha lehiskadesh b'kdushosay. They made this brocha of Al Netilas Yodayim that we should be niskadesh b'kdushosay v'litol yodeinu min hakli k'koyen shemekadesh yodav min hakiyo k'koydim avodosa. Every morning, the Kohen, as he went into the Beis HaMikdash, the first thing he had to do was to go to the Kiyah and make Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim. Ulhalocha onu tovsin kishnei atamim lechumul inyun etilo dekamon bazeh hasimen, and so on and so forth. So we're going lechumul according to the Rashba, that the reason is that we look upon ourselves as Kohenim. And just like the Kohanim started their day of service by washing Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim at the Kiyah, so we too do a Me'en of Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, namely that we wash the Negel Vasa with a Kli. Paiskim who asked the Kashya, so why Takadon we do the feet also? If we are doing it to copy the Kohanim or to look upon ourselves as Kohanim, so why don't we do Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim? He says, well, it's only a Zecher, it's not the real Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a Kiyot, so since it's only Zecher L'Dover, it's good enough to do it with the hands. But you know, that Zecher L'Dover is a pretty powerful Zecher L'Dover. That Zecher L'Dover is a pretty powerful Zecher L'Dover. It's telling us that, look, the Kohanim started their avodah with washing from a kli, the kiyah. So you also, as Zecher L'Dover, have to wash your hands to distance the Ruach HaTumah. You have to wash your hands with a kli. Yeah, but there's a catch. I'm not a Kohen. Many of you listeners are also not Kohanim, I imagine. So what's going on over here? Why do I have to organize my day in such a way that my day starts with washing Negel Vasser from a kli, just like the Kohanim did? That's because they were Kohanim. The Yisraelim, I mean, before this Takona, I don't know when the Chachamim were misakin this Netilas Yadayim, but I assume that, I don't know whether during the Bais Rishon there was such a halacha, but so you wash your hands in the kiyah if you're a kohen. If you're not a kohen, you don't do it. So why do I have to make a zecher for that? So you see, right at the beginning of Eirei Chaim, of the Shulchan Aruch, there's a Siman Dalet which I read out to you. We are being told that we are kohenim, not legal kohenim. We don't duchen if we're not kohenim. If we're not born kohenim. And Yetz Hashem ben Hero Yivone Beis HaMikdash, we won't be doing the Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, but we have to look upon ourselves as though we were Kohanim. And if a Kohen is machshir himself for his Avoida by washing his hands from a kli, so the Rashba comes along and says, so we also do that. And that is the way we prepare ourselves for our day. Yeah, but where's my avoider during the day? That's also poshut. Like, do we do avoider during the day? We get up, we daven. Some of us are zolichot to go to London after davening a whole day in the koilel, Baruch Hashem. Others go out and make a panosa. Also Baruch Hashem. Shulchan Aruch says, Achakach yelech limlachta, shekol toiro she'enim ha'melochos, soifa b'teilo v'gareiros ovein. So, Yidden live their lives, but where's the avoider? That it should require a Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim Ki'ilu from a Keli. We're not Kohanim. The emphasis is that in a way we are Kohanim. You know that in the Birchas HaShachar, so we say the Brocha Pakeharivim, Al-Bisharumim, Matiasurim, and so on, and the final of that series of Brochas is Brochot HaShem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Oiter Yisrael B'Sifara. Now we say Hanosin LaYoev Koyach after that, but Hanosin LaYoev Koyach doesn't belong to that series because it was a takona later on, that in the early Middle Ages in Germany they had these terrible radifas. Never we know all about that, and so the Chachmei Hador of that the Tkufa where the Yidden had to suffer so much through all these pogroms and things, so they all were misakin. Hanoisen LaYoev Koyach, the Rebbeinu Shem gives us the Koyach to get through these horrible experiences. So really the last bracha, formally the last bracha is Ateh Yisrael B'Sefara, and you know that Medina de Gemara, the brachas of Birchas HaShachar, they weren't said like we do it, that we misadda them all from a siddur when we start davening shachris. They took it, did it when they got out of bed. When they sat up, they said, Zoykuf Gefufim, and so on and so forth. And when he puts on his hat, you know, that's, I guess, the end of getting dressed. That's the last thing they put on. So he says, Oiter Yisrael B'Sif Ora, that he's crowning Klal Yisrael with glory. Now, that's also a strange thing. Maybe I'm a street sweeper, a garbage collector, and I put on a baseball cap during the day so that to protect my, I don't know what, you know, people wear hats. So what's that got to do with Tiv Ogre? The big day kohana were Tiv Ogre, know how to go quickly, big day kohanish, lefer, and Tiv Eres. So that was the big day kohana. But where's my baseball cap? Where's that Tiferes? Oite Yisrael B'Sifara. He crowns us with Tiferes. Even if I put on a plain, like I say, a baseball cap, it's being Oite Mi B'Sifara. Now what's that mean? Well, it means the same thing again. It means that I am Te'ilu a Kohen who is starting his day now in whichever acceptable activity he is going to engage. He should be looking upon himself as a Kohen who's getting dressed for his Avoda, and therefore the plainest hat that he puts on, for whatever reason he puts it on, is Oite Yisrael B'Sif Ora. I think I've mentioned these Haoros before, but it's worthwhile to think about it again, especially now when we're getting ready for Pesach, because just one other haoga before we get to the Pesach part of it. You have this Mishnah Dika haoga from Rav Shamshon Freud Hirsch. I think I mentioned that also, about the 10 Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayims, which the Kohen Gadol went through on Yom Kippur. 10 times he made Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, and the last one, the last Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, is he changes into his Big Day Choyl. So then he takes off his Big Day Kodesh and he changes into a Big Day Choyl. So now he has to make a Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. Now why do you have to make Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim for putting on Big Day Choyl? Is he going to do an Avoider? So tell us this, you see, yes, that's exactly what he's doing. That he's exactly doing that. We are being Ovdim. We are being Ovdim. That's a really very, very, very mighty gezach. That means that we go out of the Beis HaMikdash and in our Big Day Choyl, ready to do Choyl de Gezachen, and finish the Avoida for the day is finished. Go home, you can eat, and carry on with your life. And that life needs a Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. It's really very mighty when you think about it. So just this very, very first couple of simonim in the Shulchan Aruch put us on notice what our life is supposed to be like. And that is really a big shaila. Yitz Hashem, some of you, if you're listening to, who are listening to the Shir, so that you'll be sitting down in a few days' time, maybe participating in a Seder, making a Seder for your wives and children, your guests. What can be more wonderful than the Seder? Than the Seder. So we're going to have to think about what are we celebrating by the Seder? Well, it's Yitzhak Mitzrayim, I imagine.
So Kolamabil is Sapir Bitsias Mitzrayim, Harizem Meshubach. So we're talking Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, what was the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim? And that's very strange. And I don't really know whether the answer which I'm going to give to the Ha'orah, which I am about to share with you, not so sure what the answer really is. Because if you look at the Avodim Ayinu, the beginning of the Haggadah, Avodim Ayinu L'Faro Mitzrayim, V'yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham, V'yad Chazok V'Zolayinu Tuya, V'yidu L'Hayitz HaKadosh Baruch, and so on and so forth. What are we celebrating at the Seder night? That Hashem made us free. We were Avodim Ayinu L'Faro Mitzrayim, and the Rav Hashem took us out. Hey, that's so nice. I'm not an Eved anymore. I'm free. I can sleep late in the morning. I can just do what I want. Is that really what we're celebrating? Is that all that Yetzias Mitzrayim is about? That I was an Eved and then I ceased to be an Eved. What is an Eved? An Eved is somebody who's Meshuvah to his master, and the master tells him to do this, he has to do it, and we know what an Eved is. And that stopped with Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's absolutely true. So what happened as a result of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Gee, a very important thing. I stopped being an Eved. Isn't that nice? Is that all it is? That now I can sleep late in the morning? Is that what we're celebrating? And if you read Avodim Ayinu, that's what it sounds like. It doesn't say anything about anything else. The same thing is true. If you look in the Psukim by the Sneh, when the Rabbani Shum first revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he told him about the fact that he was sending him into Mitzrayim to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, what does he mention? He mentions, I see that I don't have the Chumash in front of me now, so I see the terrible things that are being done to the Yidden, and they're suffering, and by Yitzhak, I'm going to take them out, please go to Mitzrayim. You're going to be my ambassador to take them out of Mitzrayim. So what's Yetzias Mitzrayim? Easy. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the becoming a non-Eved from having been an Eved. If that's all it is, that's pretty strange. And the truth is that we say quite different things. For example, Onoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yetzisicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mebeis Avodim. What is the first Dibra? I took you out. So what do we mean? I took you out so that you can sleep late. And that's the first of the Aseret HaDibros. No, we say in Vayayim, we say differently. Ani Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoceiti Yitzchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Li'os L'chol Elokim. Oh, now we're talking that the Mahalach is that you were slaves and I took you out of Mitzrayim. And because I took you out of Mitzrayim, so now I am your master. Li'os L'chem L'Elokim. Oh, in Tetzaveh, I'm Ribbono Shel Olam, took you out of Mitzrayim, L'shochnei B'soichem. So in order to be dwelling among you with the Beis HaMikdash. Over there we're talking tachlis. We're talking not that the Yetzias Mitzrayim is an absence of avdus, that it's a negative, that all that Yetzias Mitzrayim did for us is that it helped us to stop being avodim. No, that's not only what it did with us. That's big stuff. That's what's coming out from Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's the famous Ramban, that why Sefer Shemois ends with the Hakoma of the Mikdash. So he says, because they're not geulim until they shov le ma'alos avosam, until they get back to the ma'alos of their forefathers, sheho yosoid eloya alei ohaleihem, that the Shechina dwelt amongst them. So what's going on over here? Like when you think about it in those terms, that Yetzias Mitzrayim had very, very, very serious repercussions. It made us avodim to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you make the Ribbono Shel Olam our Melech. Shema Yisroel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shamayim. And then there's a Kabbalas Oil Mitzvahs. And that's followed then by Gula. That's the Emes V'yatze V'nochon V'kayim V'yosha Ezra Zavaseinu Adzoi Shibuchu Rahuvim V'roi V'nosni Yedidim Zemiro Shiro Zishbrochos Boros V'haydor Zemiro Chagam Rombanis V'godol V'nor V'mashpagay V'mabir Shufo V'mach Yasri V'mfaydanov V'azadalim V'oin Rama V'shmur Tilas Yom Boruch Boruch Shiro Chadosh Shibuchu Gula Nishim Chatsfas Hayom. Yitzias Mitzrayim had very, very, very serious repercussions. And yet, in some very significant passages, one we mentioned in the Torah by the snare, and one we mentioned from the Haggadah in Avodah Moyinu, there is not even a remez, at least if there is a remez, it's passed me by, I have noticed it, but it's telling us something different. It's telling us, wow, you know, you're having a Seder night tonight, and that's really wonderful, because Hashem took us out. Wow, wasn't that something great? We're not a slave anymore. So how do you understand that? How do you understand it? I don't know how you understand it. I haven't seen anybody who is ma'ayla that. Haven't seen anybody who's ma'ayla that. Why there are passages which don't mention the real tzitzah of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I don't know. I said to myself, I think in some place I wrote about it, and there may be some truth to that. There may not be. I don't know. But the fact is that it could be that we learn over here a psychological truth. That if I'm going to be a Rebbe, I'm going to try and teach people. So you have to measure the degree to which you are megale the secrets that you harbor in your own heart and mind to your Talmidim. They may not at every stage be ready for the full impact of what you'd really like to impart to them. In other words, people who have been slaves now for 210 years, so, and you come along and say, oh, you know why? Because I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim, and you're going to get a master like you never even dreamt of such a master. Like what the taskmasters in Mitzrayim did for you or did to you is a joke relative to the obligations. He's going to get a Torah with Tariyak Mitzvahs and Veis Vastutzach. So that would not have been the way to talk to the people. I think I mentioned before how Rav Shamshon Rav Hirsch learns in the Shir Shel Yom of Thursday, Hasiroisi Misevel Shichma Kapov Midud Ta'avona. Right? Hasiroisi Misevel Shichma. Shichma means his shoulders. So as a slave, he used to carry very heavy burdens on his shoulders. So by taking him out of Mitzrayim, Hasiroisi Misevel Shichma. I took away from his Shichma the sevel that he used to carry. Kapov midud ta'avona, that his hands may distance themselves from the pot. Dud is a pot, chant pot. Pot where you cook the soup, where you cook meat, whatever it is. So what's that kapov midud ta'avona? You won't want to eat anymore? I mean, everybody wants to eat. Everybody has to eat. So hasirosim is sevel shichma. That's easy enough to understand. But what does it mean, kapov midud ta'avona? So Rav Shamshon Rav Hirsch says the same thing, you know, a slave has nothing on his mind except the next meal. He's completely shackled, he can do nothing at all on his own initiative, and so the head is full. What's for lunch? Are we going to get a decent lunch for once? And are they going to take some trouble, and the people who are supposed to be cooking our lunch, are they putting some love into it instead of just giving us slop, that kind of stuff that we've been getting all the time? Whatever it is, yeah, so the effort is focused on his next meal. Kapov midud ta'avonu. Rabban Shem said, I hoped that as a result of my taking away the sevel from Yeshachem, as a result of taking away the very, very heavy burdens which you had on your shoulder, as a result of that, I hoped that kapov midud ta'avona, that I can get you to turn your hands away from the dud. Don't always be grabbing the next meal. So that's what an eved is, I guess. An eved is somebody never who's dehumanized
and the interests that he has, the focus upon which he focuses, are very unadmirable things. Nothing wrong with eating, but there's something wrong with it being focused disproportionately on the next meal. So you try to stop being that. And you can tell these slaves who have been slaves for 210 years, you can tell them, you're going to become Bnei Chayil, you're going to be Moiradik. You won't be a slave anymore. Nobody's going to be able to tell you what to do. Actually, that's the wrong message. Because somebody's going to tell us what to do. Are going to be very, very, very heavy burdens. Not easy to be mekayim the diktuk every mitzvah. So maybe that's the word, that there was an Indian of hadroga, that at a certain stage all the yidden that were mukshah to hear was that they were going to be free, that they're not going to have taskmasters banging them up the whole time and forcing them to do terribly difficult work. You're going to be free. None of this is going to bother you anymore. And then, as they grew into what it meant to be with the Rebbeinu Shalom in the Midbar, included in the Ananei Kovod, eating the Mon, drinking from the Be'er, and so on, they began to be ready to hear that there's a different kind of avdus. But that's not an avdus that makes you unhappy, that oppresses you, but it's an avdus that makes you very, very, very happy. That's the most interesting juxtaposition that I think we have in the Torah. I can't say it's the most interesting, it's a silly thing to say, so please forget it. Yeah, but that Shema is immediately followed by V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. It's like a Moyodik HaChidosh. Shema Yisroel Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Chazal called it Kabbalah's oil Malchus Shamayim, and an oil is a very, very scratchy, heavy thing. It's not easy. At least I assume I've never had an oil on my neck. But they're heavy things, and they can't be comfortable for the ox if you put the oil on him. So Kabbalah's oil Malchus Shamayim, it's a very big deal to become avodim of the Rebbeinu Shlalom. And immediately that's followed with V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ma'edecha. Wow, that's Moyodik. Because he is my melech, and because he puts an oil on me, so because of that, I'm supposed to love him. Wow, that's something. Why am I supposed to love him? An oil is not pleasant. Answer is, some oils are pleasant. And the oil Malchus Shamayim is apparently very pleasant. Each one of us will have felt that to a greater or lesser extent, depending on how serious we are about serving the Rebbeinu Shlalom meaningfully. But apparently there's no steer between, in one breath, being Mekabel oil Malchus Shamayim, and in the next breath, to submit to the mitzvah of loving the Rebbeinu Shlalom. And we all know the Rambam in Perek Yud of Hilchos Teshuvah, yeah, that is not ponui me'avas as isha, like the love that the Rebbeinu Shlalom expects from us is an overwhelming experience of joy, of sweetness, apparently. I wouldn't know. That's a terrific madrega to be a real, real, real oyev Hashem. But seems to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. So Yetzias Mitzrayim has some very, very, very serious repercussions. The Shochni B'Sarchem, that's an unbelievable thought. Rabbi Hashem says, I took you out of Mitzrayim. Let's just think about it. I took you out of Mitzrayim. The Shochni B'Sarchem. So Rashi touches the Shochni Almanos, that's a whole big story, and the Ramban tries to show that it can't be the right translation. So he says, L'shochni b'sochem, in order, I took you out of Mitzrayim because I wanted that I should be able to dwell among you. That's why I told you now to build a Mishkan. I told you to build a Mishkan because I took you out of Mitzrayim, L'shochni b'sochem, in order that I should be able to dwell among you. Now that's a big deal, to have the Rebbeinu Shalom dwelling among us.
in its nicest manifestation, I guess, in its most pleasant manifestation, the Ramban calls it a Beis HaRachamim. The Beis HaMikdash is a Beis HaRachamim because that's what it is. We bring kavonos and there's kapora for our averos. So it's a Beis HaRachamim. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. On the other hand, there's a chazal that the various chumoshim in the Torah are connected. Okel ha-godol ha-gibor v'ha-noiro oise mishpat ge-yosem v'almon. Okel ha-godol is precious. Creation is okel ha-godol. Ha-gibor is Shemois, where the Rebbein Shem smashed Paro and his forces, and Hanoiro, the awesome one, the one in front of whom to be scared, is Vayikra. Says that's why the avoider of korbanos, because by bringing korbanos, as korbanos, we're being made that really the whole physical world should go up in smoke. So, Beis HaMikdash is an altar, it's a very, very big achrayas, as the din of Moiro Mikdash. I have to know to what extent we all have to be voiding ourselves. When, you know, we go, I'm talking now this year, I can't call it Torah's Eretz Yisrael. I'm sitting at the moment as I'm making this year, as I'm recording it, sitting in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, in Bnei Brak. But there's such a thing as Torah's Eretz Yisrael. But the Rebbein Shem is Neuro. It's okay, like Godoil is Bereshis, HaGibor is Shemois, HaNeuro is Vayikra. Maral says, why? Because Neuro means that somebody in front of whom you have to be afraid. You have to be afraid of the Rebbein Shlalem. You have to be afraid of the Rebbein Shlalem. Why is that? Because of Yichud. Because, you know, if you're opening a yeshiva, it's always best to have a shutuf. Not one Rosh Yeshiva, but two Rosh Yeshivas. Why? Because, you know, sometimes the Bachim have complaints. So if there's one, so he gets all the complaints. If there's two, so the burden can be shared. Rebbein Shem is awe, full of an awe-inspiring presence, because there's nobody besides the Rebbein Shlalem, and we have to make our peace with the Rebbein Shlalem, and that is why Sefer Vayikra, which is the Torah's Kayanim, is the Torah of Yira. So there are big things in Yetzias Mitzrayim, very, very, very big things, and maybe, let's not carry on so long. Pesach is coming up, so if we're good yidden, we're helping our wives or our mothers to make the house clean and so on. So shouldn't be marach too much. But that seems to be this concept of avoider, that even if we're not kayanim, even if we're not kayanim, our day has to be a day of avoda. Our workplace has to be like the Azora, that Ein Yeshiva BeAzora LeMalcha Beis David Bilvad. You're not allowed to sit in the Azora. Azora is a place of avoda. La Amod LeShoreis, Rashi says. So by Sheiros, there's a din that you have to stand. So in the Azora seems to be a place that's miyuchot to Sheiros. Rashi seems to be saying that. There's certain stiras in Rashi, but that's not so much nagei. But the word is that that's who we are. And that is why Baschagen Hizu, the Ruach HaTumah is a Baschagen. She says, you can't fool around with me. You want to get rid of the Ruach HaTumah? I'll tell you how to get rid of your Ruach HaTumah. Go to the Kiyah and wash, become a Kohen. Make your life, that's really what that Gemara is saying, make your life into an experience of Sheirus. Be Meshores the Rebbein Shlalem. Never mind whether you're Kohen or Levi or Yisrael. Be a Meshores of the Rebbein Shlalem. Do what you have to do. And that's the way to live. And that's why you have to your private kia, maybe standing next to your bed or little cups by the sink. That's what it's all about. So maybe we started off the shiur today by asking, like, what is the limud that we're supposed to take along from Pesach? What is a taka that we're supposed to take along from Pesach? Maybe this is one of the lessons. The lessons that on Pesach, when we become the Am Hashem, we are all being converted into Kohanim, and that our lives are to be defined by the quality of the Sheirut that we offer to the Ribbono Shel Olam as we go through our lives. And there could be secular lives, if there is such a thing as secular lives. Everything is supposed to be Kol Maaseh Yud Hashem Shamayim. But maybe that's the message that we have to take from Pesach. The emphasis is maybe there'll be time still on Pesach maybe to make another shiur about Kriyas Yamsuf. There's so much there, and really, you know, getting through Pesach in a way in which the Torah wants us to get through Pesach can really make big differences to our Yiddishkeit. So let's try and think that way, perhaps, that the limud of Pesach is this limud that what Rashi says, you have Mamlechus Koyanim v'Koy Kodesh Koyanim Asorim K'mashenema uvnei Dovid Koyanim Hoyim. So Koyan is really a Sar, and we'll have to talk about that, maybe we'll come to it a little bit, this idea of aristocracy, that Yetzias Mitzrayim makes us into an aristocracy. We've talked about that a little bit before, but now that it's L'maaseh, Pesach is coming, that's certainly something that we ought to be considering. So in the meantime, let me wish you all a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, and maybe things will work out that I'll be able to make another shiur for next week. Have a good Yom Tov.